It's fun to be in the Lord's work. It really is, and we enjoy it so. Let me lead us in prayer again. Heavenly Father, we do bow before you with gratefulness for the opportunity we have to learn of you and to learn how you would desire for us to live. What a privilege, what a joy that we can honor you. Thank you for the clarity of your counsel. Thank you for the joy that we have of being obedient to you. Lord God, we pray that our time together this evening might be not only honoring to you, but beneficial to us and an encouragement to others as we seek to serve and live for you in the fashion that your word tells us to. And so, Lord God, give us ears to hear, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be all over in God's word this evening, and so I hope that you have nimble fingers and you can. I'm going to ask you to be participating in reading portions of the scriptures tonight. But I want to talk about hospitality. Every church sends a message on how they welcome and treat guests. And those who do not appreciate this sends the loudest message. What we believe has no impact on how we treat you. Hospitality is a combination of two words, and it comes from one word, stranger, and the other word, love. It literally means to show love to strangers. And you want to consider how this reflects the heart of God? Would someone read for us Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, please? Nice and loud so that we can all hear it as you share it with us. Romans 5, 6 to 8. We see here the scripture is saying there was a time when we were alienated or separated from God. But God showed his amazing love by providing a means by which we can be united with him. And he provided that by sending his son to pay the penalty for our sin, that which alienated us from him. And this is the gospel. This is the good news by which not only have we been saved, but we have been entrusted with that message to take to the world, to share it with the world. I am sure this is nothing new to any of you here. But how does that impact our topic this evening on hospitality? This summer we have, to my knowledge, four organized events intended to reach out beyond the walls of Forest Baptist Church. We have the Pinery Ministry starting on June the 24th, where we will take the equipment and a music team and those greeting and someone prepared to share the truth of God's word to a congregation that we have no idea who will be there. And our intent is to bring the truth of God's word to whosoever will come and join us. 10 Sundays, starting on the 24th, June the 24th, and going to the Sunday just before Labor Day. And if you want to be involved in that, we give you that opportunity. Look forward to that. We have VBS starting on July the 16th. You may see the promotion signs already starting to appear around our community, an opportunity by which we want to cease to share the truth of God's word to these children. And Lord, being gracious and willing, allow us to penetrate into the home as well. It's been well received in the past. We're grateful for that. May I encourage you not only to be inviting your neighborhood, but making this a matter of prayer as we try to take the gospel, the truth, out into our communities. We have the Steam Threshers event on August the 19th, where I anticipate we will be sharing the truth of God to people that, well, to you, because you will be invited to go, but also to everyone else that will be going to the Steam Threshers event. Very well received in past years, for which we are grateful, and we don't take credit for that. I was absolutely amazed last year where over the loud PA, the announcement was there was some event that was supposed to happen right after our church service, and the PA announcer asked them to delay that for a few minutes because the church service has just gotten out and they're on their way. Kind of, whoa, is that ever cool? And we were an adequate crowd to make that kind of an impact. And that only communicates there's something going on. And pay attention to your programs and get there next year. So we covet your prayers with that as well. And then there's a booth that we have at the Fall Fair. And that's September the 23rd. Many of you have been so faithful at doing that, and we trust that that will be a presence of the Fall Fair as well. Last year, it was so cool that we were able to be right next side the Gideons, and so that we were kind of team tagging through the with the Gideons and ourselves, and they were giving out Bibles and God's truth, and we were able to entertain the children, but also take advantage of opportunities to share the gospel with those who would respond to our presentations. Also, we have 3 church barbecues planned for this summer. And I know that's largely an in-house thing, but you are welcome to bring people to that and to just engage with them and allow us to engage with them. We're going to be at the Wilkins on July the 22nd. On June 24th. And in Greg and Nicola Gordon on July the 22nd. And on August the 5th at Sam and Beth Woods. And so these are huge opportunities for hospitality. Very casual. People will often come to an event where they're getting fed, but it's not just giving them something to eat, but an opportunity by which they will hear a prepared word of God. All of these things, hospitality can play a huge role, and I don't want to overstate that. I can't overstate that. That it's a wonderful opportunity to welcome people and invite people to get acquainted with us and to hear a little bit more about what we are and what we're all about. Let me share some research that I have recently received this spring. It starts like this. Most church members have forgotten what it is like to be a first-time guest. They now have established relationships in the church. They love their church. Their biases tell them that their church is a great place to be. But many church members and leaders are wrong. We ask hundreds of guests about their experiences visiting churches, and it is not a pretty picture. We ask specifically why they did not return to that particular church. And the article gave the top 10 responses. I'm not going to share the top 10, but I am going to share a few. But the first one is the stand and greet time in the worship service was unfriendly and awkward. I didn't know people still did that, but apparently they do. And the follow-up of that was some guests saw it as only a ritual for the members, while others were totally ignored or inundated with superficial greetings. And you may have experienced that kind of event. And though I told you I'm not going to give you all 10, the second one is unfriendly church members. Many people don't speak to people they don't know. We really need to work at getting over that. I have heard of churches boasting of how friendly their church is. And no doubt they are to one another. But are they to the stranger in their midst? Personally, I have been really encouraged by you. This spring, we've had different friends come. We didn't know they were coming. They come unannounced. We weren't prepared for their coming. And we didn't even know until after they had been seated and were here. And yet, they reported to us how warmly welcomed they were by you. And that just delighted my heart that they receive that welcome from you. Thank you. On that note, let me also add, it is really, truly difficult to come to church alone. When we see someone sitting alone, particularly a stranger, go out of your way to welcome them. I've seen that in our own family. When one of our kids left home and we're very well versed and comfortable in church, and yet when they were living in the town all by themselves, their church attendance significantly slid. It's difficult to go to church alone. And I've seen, it's blessed my heart, I've seen people who have been sitting here alone and one of you gets up and goes and sits beside them. Oh, how blessing, what a blessing that is to see that. Let us be aware that that is truly a ministry that we can have one with another. The fourth one is there is no place for to get information on the church. Man, woohoo, did you see that information booth that we got out there? That is so great. And I think that will just naturally help us in that area of getting information to people as they come. It's pretty hard to miss. I thought we were going to be in the back on the right-hand side of the doors, and I kind of really appreciate where it's at. You can't miss that unless you come through this door and come through this. I expect the greeters will be on that one. So, great. Thank you, Dave, for that. Now, those who man that, I know that Pastor Tyler wants to have some kind of instruction to you for preparing for that. But let me just add, prepare your heart for the ministry that you're engaged in doing there. So that we want you to be knowledgeable. We want you to be able to answer the questions, like not just where the washrooms are, but you know, what are the age of the junior church? What is the age of the the nursery, how that all functions, what these things are up here, and just let people who don't know. Now, if you don't have kids, you might not know what those things are. In fact, you might not, if you got kids, you might not even have seen those things. But those of you who do have little children know full well what those things are all about. And those in, you, in the nursery know full well what those things are all about. If they're having trouble and they need the parent is given a number, and parents will see that, I expect. And the last one I want to share with you is poor signage. The article, and that's number six, the article stated that the people get frustrated when they don't have clear direction. I don't think that that is such a big deal for us. I can understand it can be a big deal for huge churches like thousands of people, and you can easily get lost. Or if you're in a church, a really old church, where you have to go way down in the basement and down in the back corner that they were able to get a washroom in there. And I think that we've all kind of had that experience too. But I think that we're pretty good that way. The main points I want to share with you this evening are not original with me. I got it from the Crossways Ministry, identifying myths about hospitality. And so there's four of them I want to share with you, and I want to be fairly concise with those. And the first one is only people with the gift of hospitality are expected to practice it. Hospitality, folks, is not a gift unto itself. It means, it's a means by which we can exercise our spiritual gifts and demonstrate them, such as mercy and serving and giving and evangelizing. The dramatic teaching of hospitality found in the New Testament shows that hospitality is rooted in our love for God, in our love for one another, and our concern for those outside of his family. That we can show them salvation. When Christians refuse to give or receive hospitality, that speaks to their lack of love, first, for the body, next, to their neighbors, but ultimately, to the Lord. Would someone read for us 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, please? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Yes. Hospitality ought to be a wonderful characteristic of his church. I wonder if it can be said hospitality can be a measuring stick, a good measuring stick, indicating the overall health of the church. Over our ministry years, we've had the opportunity of going into several different churches that, though I would not say they were in crisis, they were not healthy. And one of the churches which I pastored, we had a couple over for dinner. And she was very active and involved as a member of that church. And yet she made this comment to us. This is the first time I have ever been in the house of anyone from the church. And we were shocked. This was not a visitor that was just checking us out. This was someone who was very involved in the ministry of that church. May that never be said of us. Myth number two, hospitality is women's work. Hospitality is a biblical mandate for church elders, who are men entrusted with the teaching and ruling leadership of the church. The call to practice hospitality goes out to the elders, to the men first, and next to the rest of the body. Hospitality requires old-fashioned hard work on the part of everyone, men, women, and children. And yes, children and youth, they need to be involved in hospitality. How many people come to our Awana or come to our youth meetings and don't come back because they have not been engaged or welcomed or made part of? They've been ostracized or just not included. I know it can be inconvenient. It can be costly, and during times of persecution, which I have never experienced, I can appreciate it can be dangerous. Fellowship, biblical instruction, singing, praying, caring for each other's basic needs, providing assistance to brothers and sisters of the faith, and occasionally helping strangers in our midst all fall under the umbrella of hospitality. Would someone read for us 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7? 1 Timothy 3, 1 to 7. Thank you. Let me share. Showing a warm welcome as we gather in the name of the Lord is not solely the responsibility of the greeters. We need to be conscientiously applying ourselves to making people welcome. And I think that we do a reasonably good job. We can do better. There's things that we can do that would improve. We can be a little bit more intentional about getting the information so that we can do some more follow-up, and I'm hoping that Welcome Center will help us in that. And the training that we will be giving, I hope, will be helping with that. But we cannot follow up on people that we don't have information on. But we have a means of getting that information if they will give it to us. There are things that we can do that could be beneficial. In fact, you know, if you're willing, you can take one of those pens and a welcome card and put it in your jacket, and you can initiate people to share that and give that to them. And now, I think the problem has been that we give those things out, but either we don't get them back, or we don't, I don't know what becomes of them. But we'll tighten that up, and we'll get a little bit more conscientious of that. May it never be said, visitors leave us feeling unwelcomed and alienated. Myth number three, Only married, well-off people with a large house can practice hospitality. Interesting. Studies have shown most hospitable Christians are often those with great love and meager means. All of us are able to practice hospitality. Sometimes it may be helpful to have it modeled. Personally, we have found it beneficial, especially when we are inviting an unchurched family or couple to our home, to have another couple as well. Someone who has been specifically selected who would be able to engage with them. That accomplishes several things. That takes off the pressure for us if we are called away to do some preparation for something for the evening. It broadens the field of interest. It helps to affirm them or come alongside them to show that we all don't have two heads. There's a lot of people that have a lot of misinformation about these people that meet in church every Sunday morning. And if they ever have reason or accept the invitation to come to an event where we are at, they already know some people whom they have been engaged with or introduced to. Don't put on airs. We don't need to impress them. Just being hospitable will impress them ample, I believe. Just be who you are in Christ, with the intent of reaching out to them and gathering them in. Paul, a single apostle, zealously practiced life-giving hospitality while on house arrest in Rome. Would someone look up for us Acts chapter 28 and read verses 16 to 23? Acts 28, 16 to 23. Would you also read verses 30 and 31, please, Paul?
And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness on him.
Okay, so here we have a picture of a guy who was under house arrest and yet was inviting people to his place. He had limited resources, I'm sure, but he didn't let that stop him. We knew of a fairly well-to-do Christian couple who started attending our small church. And as they got to know us, they invited the whole church out to their pretty impressive home. But that's not why they invited us. They were showing us wonderful hospitality. but it was a bit intimidating. They stayed with us for many months, and then they kind of drifted off. And I found out one of the reasons why they ceased coming is because they felt alienated and isolated. They didn't feel part of the body. No one reciprocated. No one. They didn't invite people so that they would be invited, but they were showing their warmth and their hospitality, and no one was showing hospitality back to them. And they felt alone. How sad. The fourth myth is hospitality should never be extended to known sinners. For if you dine with sinners, others will think you approve of their sin. And that's exactly what Jesus heard. That's exactly what Jesus went out and dined with the tax collectors and sinners, and we know that. And yet, how is it that we can easily fall for this? We need to be careful who we extend hospitality to. Scripture is true, is clear that we are not to extend hospitality to those who are false teachers. Would someone read for us 2 John 7 to 11, please? 2 John 7 to 11. Okay, so for false teachers, for those who are presenting another gospel, be very leery on that. Or to unrepented sinners who are under church discipline. By unrepented sinners, I mean people who are under church discipline as they continue to walk in unconfessed sin and are not responding to the correction of those in authority over them. Acting, as it were, business as usual is harmful in the process of church discipline, which is intended to bring the wayward brother or sister back into fellowship through confession and repentance. Would someone read for us 1 Corinthians 5, verses 9 to 13? 1 Corinthians 5, 9 to 13. Thank you. The command to withhold hospitality refers to those who are inside the church, to those who are misusing the church, its teaching, and its people. There is no biblical command against extending hospitality to unbelievers. Times have changed. When I first went into ministry, I would share with the church that if you ever saw one of my vehicles parked outside the bar, don't get too alarmed. I'm in there building relationships and sharing truth. In fact, you would be welcome to come on in and sit with me. When I was ever in that kind of situation, I made sure that I was drinking coffee so no one would have a reason to question. Things have changed now. That doesn't seem to be a big deal anymore. But how we present ourselves is important. And how we befriend to others is significant. We need to seek the salvation of the stranger, to build up relationships with those outside the body of Christ, but also to build up relationships with those who are inside the body of Christ. We serve a God who sought us out when we were a stranger. God found us, took us in, made us part of his family, and has brought us to his table. Our homes are not to be castles, but maybe a better description would be that they are to be incubators and hospitals, caring for those who are in need of assistance and care and are hurt and grieving. This week I spent a few hours with several pastors in the local area. And we ranged from Lobo to Forest to Grand Bend to Park Hill. There was a good group of us, absolute brothers in the Lord. I have no question about that. And we got talking about love, Christian love. The love that the Lord extends to us, that he has instructed us to demonstrate, is to be a motivating love. It's to identify us. It is the first of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned. And without it, our salvation is questionable. As I heard this, I thought how this fits so wonderfully into the topic that I was going to be sharing with you tonight on hospitality. And so let me end with a quote from 2 Thessalonians 3:13. Brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. Let us be people demonstrating hospitality. And let us be encouraging one another in that as well.